Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a marketer, writer, and an entrepreneur. She spent the first 18 years of her career as the founder of Nimble Cricket Marketing, a full-service marketing and communications consulting firm. Today, she is the founder and publisher behind the Author Incubator, where her and her team help life coaches, how-to writers, and solo entrepreneurs increase their bottom line through book publishing. Now, let's hack. Angela Loria. I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign enables you to send perfectly timed messages in response to your customers' actions, reactions, and behaviors, both in your email and on your website. It allows you to treat your contacts as unique individuals rather than just sending everyone the same damn boring message. Marketing automation campaigns allow you to listen, learn, adapt, and respond. And they're super simple, easy to use drag and drop system to set up your email funnels. It's so awesome to use. It's just a beautiful, easy to use platform. There's absolutely no need to hire consultants, and you can set it up yourself. I did it back in January of this year, and you can do it yourself. See why thousands are upgrading to a more intelligent marketing solution. Right now, you can sign up for a free 14-day trial with no credit card needed. Plus, I've got you some cool bonuses for being a Hack the Entrepreneur listener. Right now, you can get free migration service. All your contacts, lists, templates, everything that's on your old email provider, they will move it over for free. Plus, whatever platform you sign up for or whatever package you sign up for, your second month of service is absolutely free. Plus, you're going to get a free one-on-one strategy session with their platform consultant. You can use this during your free trial, and it'll give you that jump start into ActiveCampaign. Go right now to activecampaign.com/hack. No training fees, no contracts, no credit card necessary. Start marketing smarter today. Get and convert more leads with ActiveCampaign. Go to activecampaign.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very, very special guest. Angela, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I got three varies.
You did.
Very, very, very special.
Well, you are. So I haven't got to meet you in person, but I have met your husband and part of your team. So that's very cool that we just sort of figured that out and backtracked a bit. So it's good to actually get to sit down and talk to you. So should we jump into it?
Yeah, nice to be here and looking forward to seeing how our conversation goes.
All right, let's do it. Angela, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Well, it's a pretty easy answer, this one. The number one thing that I do is manage my own thoughts. So I do not have the expectation at any point that anything's supposed to be easy. I am not looking for the moment when I achieve success, because I know it's all about the journey. And so if I set a goal of having $10,000 a month and I get there, by the time I get there, I'm going to have a new goal of wanting $20,000 a month. So there's no looking forward to anything. I manage my thoughts so that whatever the situation is, I will find the way that the situation is benefiting me. So how can I put things into the best possible light? And how can I use this to move forward and get my goal? Those are the kinds of questions I'm always asking myself.
I love this. This is interesting. So managing your own thoughts, because you're right, and I fully agree, it doesn't matter what goal you set, you're going to set bigger ones. And so this idea of managing your own thoughts, is this, and you're saying asking yourself questions. So Angela, is this like all done sort of within your head? Do you write this stuff out in a journal? Do you just meditate? What is it? How do you do this?
All of it. So I would say 90%, 80% of my business is managing my thoughts, and 20% is helping entrepreneurs make truckloads of money from their books. Like, the actual activities in my business are nothing compared to the work that I have to do on myself in order to be the person who can serve them. So I journal every day before bed. I meditate every morning when I wake up. And then throughout the day when crappy things happen. So I have something, I'll give you an example just to make it sort of concrete. Right now, I have a member of my community, and it's a very expensive paid community of our most successful authors. And I have a member of my community who I love, who in our community right now is sort of advertising her stuff in kind of a not super cool way. And I would just like her to not do that. Like, part of me wants to like shove the terms and conditions at her, like to show her where she signed that she wasn't going to do that. Like, I have all these feelings about wanting her to be different. And I could indulge in those feelings. Like, I could say, like, how come my clients are so difficult? And why don't they just fulfill the agreements that they signed? Like, I could waste a whole bunch of time. But energetically, that's going to take me to a place that's going to be very unattractive to my future clients. And it's going to be very unattractive to the people who are in the group if I'm like yelling at someone in the group. So the question I ask myself instead is, why is this showing up now? How can I solve this in a way that will give value to my clients? What's awesome about this happening right now? And until I have clarity on those things, I'll journal before I respond. So I want to respond. Like, I'm a normal, actual human. I'm just pissed off. And right now, being on this podcast, I want to write a screaming note. But instead, I'm like, what's going on? Like, what? And then under there, it takes me 2 seconds to figure out she's afraid that she's not going to get her investment back. She's afraid that she's not being effective in selling. And she's asking for my help, and she's paying me to be her mentor. So I can take this and turn it around, use it as a moment to help her grow as an entrepreneur, use it as a moment to help all my other clients see how you create grabby energy when you're in a place of fear. And just by loving her, I can create more expansion and more growth for myself and for her.
Wow. I love the clarity.
Yeah.
And to see, like, to really look at the, like, why is she doing it? Like, she's not doing it just to piss you off.
Right. But that's what my brain tells me.
That's like, what all of our brains tell us.
Not helpful. My brain is like, hey, she's a pain in the ass. Fire her. Give her a refund. Make sure everyone knows she's a terrible person. Like, my brain is like a vigilante on steroids, and it has the worst ideas. And here's the thing. You don't have to believe what you think. And I just choose not to believe what I think, no matter how helpful my brain wants to be.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I like it. And so I like how you said that you realized that you're like a mentor to her, and you're asking yourself these questions and kind of looking for the clarity. When you do this, do you only do this like with yourself, or do you have coaches, consultants, or peers that you use to bounce ideas off of?
All of the above. So I have my coach, who is really a thought work specialist. Her name is Brooke Castillo. She's amazing. You should all look her up. And she has a method she trains people in called Self-Coaching 101, or The Model. She has an amazing podcast called The Life Coach School. And I do my work every day, and I pay her lots and lots of money when I get stuck. I do the work with her. And so that's awesome. And then I have a business mentor. And really, that a lot of that is different than the thought work, but it's sometimes it's the same, because he will talk me off a ledge when I want to do something impulsive or reactive. And then I also believe in being the dumbest person in the room. So I love being in communities where there are people who are, somebody's talked about this ratio of like a third of the people who are behind you, a third of the people who are at your same place in your business where you are, and a third of the people who are ahead of you. So like, I just this morning did a check-in call with an entrepreneur. I help life coaches and kind of entrepreneurs in the healing space get their books written and promoted and generating usually between $10,000 and $30,000 a month from their books. Well, I have a friend who is like a business colleague who works with dance studios. Totally different space, but similar in that she helps them go from starting a dance studio to kind of a similar revenue mark. And so we'll check in on things that we're working on in our business and our lives, and we're at very much the same level. And then, you know, I have mentors and other people in that group who have already done and sold businesses at $30 million that I can check in with. So I think having that variety in a community, I have a great community in the Archangel community, which is a group that I'm in. I know you're vaguely familiar with them, but I think finding your tribe, your peeps, is so important to being able to stay in a positive place for your clients.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as much as you have to learn, I love that idea of the, like the 30%, 30%, 30%, because you can learn from people ahead of you and people who are behind you, like behind you, quote unquote, in one certain aspect, maybe.
Right.
But their perspectives might be, you might need maybe even that beginner mindset again on a problem and just be like, oh man, I was overthinking it. So it is good to have that sort of ratio, I think.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say too, that's like a little hack, is getting advice from people in other industries. That is one of the biggest things, like talking to people who are in, I have a friend who does college, like university level online learning, which is totally different than the entrepreneur space. But there are something, and there are a lot of things that we've figured out that they have absolutely not figured out. But there are some things that they actually, in terms of curriculum design, that are just like a given that I had no idea about. So I think crossover knowledge sharing is really key too.
Yeah, absolutely agree. So managing your own thoughts, that's your one thing. Now, every sort of business expert out there, Angela, likes to talk about the 80-20 rule in business.
I like to talk about it too.
Yeah, you find that 20% that gets you that 80%. You're supposed to do what you're good at and delegate the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Angela, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Absolutely. And this was really hard to learn for me. But I am not awesome at managing and training people. And I really want to be, because I find when I have other people train my staff, they don't train them the way I want. But when I train my staff, I don't train them the way I want either. So this is really interesting. Like, I was focusing on how do I build a business that I could sell? And everyone said, well, you've got to make it all repeatable. And I was really committed to that for a couple of years. I'm like, I have to break up all the jobs in the company and I have to be able to train people or find someone to train people to do all these things. What I have realized is, if I am really clear about my zone of genius, and I use that concept from The Big Leap, it's kind of like the 80-20 rule. If I just do the 20% of things that I am like super awesome at, I actually don't even need to train people. So it wasn't just a matter of finding someone else to train people. I get to just give that up and let other people do it however they want. Whoa. So it's a totally different concept than like taking the stuff the way I've done it and training people or teaching someone to train people. I'm just like, screw it. Let me just do the shit that's in my zone of genius. And if other things just don't even happen or they fall through the cracks, we'll just live with that.
Nice. I like it. I like it. And I think that it's probably essential, right? So you can just totally, like you say, focus on that zone of genius. And it's this sort of idea, you have to become that self-aware to know not to hold on to things that aren't within that genius. Because I think it's hard for us to let go.
Oh, yeah. And you get thrown off the scent because you'll have a problem in your business, right? Like, let's say you have a problem with scaling, or you have a problem with consistency implementing, or you're having a problem with returns, whatever. Every business is going to have problems. And you go to solve the problem. And so you hire experts who you trust. And they give you fantastic advice, but that advice takes you out of your zone of genius. You can completely miss it. If you've made a $10,000 investment in solving a problem, you get so excited about the solution and implementing that solution that all of a sudden you're no longer in your zone of genius because you're implementing a solution that's in somebody else's zone of genius without even realizing it. So it's not like you figure it out, write it down in a journal, and then it takes care of itself. You have to manage that like every day. I do a check-in on the first of every month, no matter what day it is. But I have a 2-hour session with myself where I go through, and this is my hack, I go through my calendar and my sent mail. So my sent email and my calendar, and I do an analysis of everything I did in the previous month that was out of my zone of genius. And then try to not do it the next month. Hopefully I make new and different mistakes the next month.
So when you find that it's that you did it and it wasn't something that you should be doing, do you then have to think about whether it's even like is required within your business or if somebody else just needs to do it?
Yep. It's all those things. It's what am I going to do? So I spent 4 hours this month working on, for me, a lot of times I'll get sucked into like admin tasks, like sorting and organizing folders. So I spent 4 hours cleaning out our Box and Dropbox folders and synthesizing them and renaming everything. It's totally not my zone of genius, and that is not what I should be doing. It's sort of my zone of excellence, which is a problem.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. So I'm good at it and I like how I do it, but it's really not the right thing for me and my business to be doing. So
does it relax you or something? Like, is there something there that is of value though?
Totally. It's like a meditation thing. So I either need to assign it to meditation time. So I spend 10% of the time in my business doing what I call, I have a little nickname, I call it joy eats, but it's like 10% of the time I'll eat chocolate cake, the equivalent of eating chocolate cake in my business, which is doing stuff that's totally not productive that I just want to do because it's fun for me. And so I either have to put that in my joy eat, which means I take other things out, or I need to not do it.
Nice. I like that.
So, and if I'm going to not do it, do we live without it? In which case I make that as a conscious decision, or do I assign it to someone who's going to do it in their way that I may or may not like?
Right. Interesting. So that's cool. So every first of the month, that's what you're going to go through. You spend an hour or two, whatever.
I do too. I block out 2 hours. It's just on my calendar, the first of every month from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. And I just go through my calendar and go through my sent mail and just try and fix anything that I really didn't need to be doing that wasn't productive.
Nice. I've heard about it, like this sort of thing, like going through the calendar, because that's the obvious one, but the sent mail. That's where you really get into what you actually are doing.
Totally. And here's one of the things I learned, like here's a little tip. So a lot of where I spend time that's not in my zone of genius is related to travel. And so when I made this decision that I was going to spend 80% of my time in my zone of genius, what that meant was I flipped all of my travel to first class. And I invested in, this is a weird little thing, but I invested in one airline that I was going to pretty much always travel unless I couldn't, but like a default airline, a default car rental, and a default hotel. So for me, it happens to be United, Hilton, and Avis. It doesn't actually matter what it is, but I will only use those companies. It doesn't matter if it's more expensive. Because the time I was spending comparing to save $10 on a friggin' rental car, not brilliant use of my time. And then I always fly first class and I always use the lounges so that I can be productive if I'm writing or whatever I'm supposed to be doing while I'm traveling. So I lose the least amount of time on just like travel BS. Because a lot of times we'll save 10%, but we'll lose much more than the 10% by really screwing up. Like I won't fly the red eye unless I have flatbed first class because I just lose the next day. It's just not worth the cost to my business. So getting honest about that stuff, when you look at your sent mail, you can really see how much time you're wasting on that kind of stuff.
Picking an airline, a hotel, and a rental car. That I've never heard anything like this. And that to me is the simplest way to like remove so much just frustration of traveling.
Well, and also like the frustration people are willing to get rid of. Yeah. What they're not willing to get rid of is the endorphin hit of saving 10%.
So not worth it. When you explain it like this, it's like, why doesn't everybody do this?
I don't know. That's why I'm on your podcast.
All those three companies that you mentioned, at like half the time, it's going to be those ones that save you the 10% or a third of the time or something. Anyway,
a third of the time, it's all going to work out.
Exactly. It's all over the long run, it's all going to be the same, except you're going to be so much better off.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So can we move on to projects? Projects is like a loose term, but any sort of project that you want to start within the company, it can be either like a new product you want to create or even like a new marketing sort of strategy product. But I would like to know, I'm sure lots of ideas come to you and I'm sure you analyze them on the first of the month, you see ideas, but I'd like to know your process, Angela, and whether it's an internal sort of gut process or a written process, but what is the process you go through to decide and determine when a project is worth not only yours, but your team's time, energy, and resources?
Yeah, such a great question. Here's the thing. I am naturally a very cerebral, like in my head, pros and cons list person. And I was one of the few people when I had my time in corporate that I love doing business cases. I am always doing a business case. Like I could be walking down the street and I'll see an opportunity and I run a business case in my head. Like it's a disease. And I read that book, Blink. Do you know that book, yes. Blink by Malcolm Gladwell? So I read that book, Blink, and I did a little experiment with myself. And the experiment was basically this. It was, if I do a business case, how often, if I just made a rash decision based on my gut, would it work out to be the same? And so I tracked it for a year. This was back in 2010, 2011, whenever that book came out. It was right after I read that book. And I tracked it for like a year where I was like, here's what my gut says, but I'm going to run the business case. And oh, I know it was before I was 39. Because this is part of how I came up with my 40th birthday. I did a one-woman show sort of based on this research. So I tracked it. And every single time my gut, without doing the business case, my gut was the same. And I thought it meant, when I first looked at this data, what I thought it meant was I was brilliant. I'm like, oh, I have that Blink thing. My gut is always right. And then I started working on a one-woman show about my life that I did for my 40th birthday. And in the process of creating that show, what I actually realized was that I am just good at building business cases. So if I want to do something in my gut, I will just find all the evidence that supports what I really wanted to do anyway. So I was never really building a business case in the first place. All I was doing was kind of being a lawyer for myself and lobbying for the case that I wanted. And I believe that's what we all do all the time. You can always find evidence to support your position. So I just stopped trying to support my position. I stopped pretending there was any objective truth. And I realized if I wanted to do it, I'm just going to do it. And I do it all the way.
Wow. So I was actually going to interrupt you for a second and be like, what exactly are you meaning by business case? But you were literally just putting a case together like a lawyer to justify what you wanted to do.
If you work in corporate, you have to create a document that says, here's why we should do it. Here's the cost of doing it this way. Here is what we spend. Here's what we make. And if we do it this other way, here's what we'd spend and here's what we'd make. This is how it would affect our resources. This is how it would affect our revenue. This is why we should do this. So if you're going to buy a new car, you might say, well, I'm spending $100 every month in gas. And if I buy a Tesla, I won't spend money on gas, but I'm going to have to build a power station at my house, which is $800, which means I'm not going to get a return on investment for 8 months. But after that, it's going to be free to drive my car. So you would just build this case, right? But I could build a case that's like, yeah, the cost of buying a new car isn't going to work out. Like if I just focus on the cost of gas, sure, you can break even in 8 months. But the cost of owning a Tesla or the cost of maintenance, because it's more expensive to fix than your Ford Focus or whatever, yeah. Right? I could build whatever case I want, the truth is. So I stop trying to convince myself of anything. And if it's a hell yes, I just do it all the way. And if there's even the slightest hesitation, it's a no.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I love how you had to do this experiment based on Blink to determine sort of what the ratio would be of success to fail. And then you realize that you're actually just really good at writing cases that would
right.
work for you.
Right.
It's such a interesting way that you sort of came around to like, oh, wow, this is actually what I'm doing.
I'm like, it's all made up. And here's the great news. Everything's made up. If you want to say your business is going to be a success, it's going to be a success. If you want to say it's going to be a failure, it's going to be a failure. We could find evidence for either, right? And whatever we find evidence for, you're just going to create more of. So you have a florist shop and there are too many florist shops are going out of business and FTD is putting them out of business and there's too many online options. You'll come up with so much evidence that you aren't going to show up for work in the morning excited to work because you're going to be looking for other options and you're going to be thinking, I should really start a bike shop. I should use some of the money from the floor shop because it's going to go out of business soon. And then you're going to drive yourself out of business with your own thoughts. But you could also have the exact same circumstance, a completely different thought, like I'm doing floor shops better than anyone else.
So the game is in your head.
And then you'll create that.
Wow. The game is just, it's in your head at that point.
All in your head, man.
Wow. I love it. I love it. Angela, this has been a blast. I want to wrap up on one final question for you, if I can.
Okay.
And it's interesting because you actually touched on this in your one thing, the very first question. But it's this idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. It's this gap that I think we live in as entrepreneurs sometimes where our successes personally are always projected into the future. So no matter what you accomplish, it's going to be in 3 months when you stand on that stage, in 6 months when you hit that revenue metric, whatever it is. Seconds before you hit that, you're going to set 5 bigger goals into the future. From the outside, you look super successful, but to yourself, it's always ahead of you. So I would like it right now, Angela, if you could stop, turn around and look behind you, the highs, the lows, the wins and the losses, but tell me how you feel about this whole entrepreneurial sort of journey up until today.
That's a big question. How do I feel about the whole entrepreneurial journey up until this moment? I mean, I definitely think you're right. Every time I hit a goal, I set a higher goal. And I think that's what's so fun about it. It feels like a big board game to me. And as long as I know what the objective is of the board game, which I get to set, it's always going to be the most fun way to spend my time.
Wow. That's awesome.
That's how I look at it. It just seems like right now, if I tried to set the objective of the game of make $100 million this year, it wouldn't be a fun board game. Like, I don't know how to do that. It's too big of a leap. Like, we're going to do 7 million this year. And so I don't know how to go from like 7 to 100. So I try and make the objective of the game fun enough that I can win, but not so easy that it's boring. So right now, 7 feels like a done deal, but I'm like thinking about next year, how could I have a plan to do 15? That feels hard. So I don't want to mess with this year. I'm like super excited. This year is like done for me kind of in my head. I know how to get 7 million. It's sort of inevitable. So instead of spending any time on that, I'm just executing that plan. And I'm making up my next board game. My next board game is called Get to 15 Million in a Year. And I have no idea how to play that one. So I'm just having as much fun as I can, making up fun objectives and then hitting them.
That's awesome. So make it like hard enough so that it's fun, or fun enough so that you want to strive for it, but not so hard that it's not fun.
Right. Like, I'm sure somebody could go from 7 to 100 million in a year, but I just don't believe that. Like, I would have to do a lot. I would have to do so much thought work. It would just be so hard. I'm just not there. Like, somebody's done that, but that's not my journey. That doesn't feel fun. But the idea of going from 7 to 15, that feels super fun. How hot would that be? And so once I get excited about the goal, then it's as good as done. Like I just have to figure out the steps, but it's all figure outable.
I love it. Angela, this has been fun, and we've got to talk about your business in passing. Could you now specifically tell the listener more about your business and then where to track you down online?
Yeah, so I am The Author Incubator. It's my title and my company name. So if you go to theauthorincubator.com, you will learn more about how we help entrepreneurs to grow their business generally to mid six figures with a book. Very often they are new businesses that are pivoting, people moving skills from a corporate environment to having their own business, and they really want to establish themselves as an expert and use a book to get clients, get speaking, grow their platform, build their list, and build their community. And we teach them exactly how to do that. And we start by getting their book written, then we find the right publishing deal for them. And then we show them how to market the book so it generates the business that they want. So it's theauthorincubator.com.
Excellent. I will link to that in the show notes on Hack the Entrepreneur as well for you. Theauthorincubator.com. BrookeCastillo.com, I believe, is who you mentioned as your coach.
Yeah, so it's actually thelifecoachschool.com. Life Coach School. And really what you want to do is listen to her podcast. It's off the hook because you're already a podcast listener.
Yes.
And that's the Life Coach School podcast.
Excellent. I will track that down and link to it, as well as we mentioned the Archangels community and summit that happens here in Toronto and the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. I will link to all those so they're easy for you to find once you get back to your computer. All right, Angela, once again, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. Thanks for sharing so openly. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it's awesome to watch.
Thanks for having me.
For a long, long time, I've been obsessed with marketing, getting leads, growing businesses. And when I read several months ago, I read that 53% companies are getting 53% higher conversion rates with marketing automation, email marketing automation, rather than those people who just use traditional like blast campaigns of email marketing. And I knew I had to look into this. So I started using ActiveCampaign in my business and with Hack the Entrepreneur, and it's been blowing my mind. Marketing automation in its simplest sense allows you to use your email campaigns to listen, learn, adapt, and respond, all based on how your customers and website subscribers sort of act, react, and respond to your email campaigns, and also how they sort of visit and travel around your website. Right now, you can sign up for a 14-day free trial and try it out yourself in your business. No credit card needed. Go to activecampaign.com/hack. Right now, you'll get free migration from your old service. You'll get a second month of service absolutely free. And I've worked out a free one-on-one strategy session with an ActiveCampaign platform consultant just for you. That's activecampaign.com/hack right now to get started with email automation in your business. Well, that was a lot of fun. I actually, right before this, in the pre-call, I was talking to Angela, and I had actually met her husband at the Archangel Summit that Angela mentioned on the show. It happens up here in Toronto in September, October, and I went to it this past year. A whole bunch of really cool people were speaking. I saw Gary Vaynerchuk and Seth Godin were there, and her company, The Author Incubator, was actually one of the sponsors, and they were set up, but she was off doing a workshop, I believe, in the UK at the time. And I talked to her husband. I didn't know that all kind of came together in the pre-call. So it was cool to actually get to sit down and talk to Angela. It was cool that she shared so much. And being part of it is always fun and interesting. And I really enjoy that part of it. But I really love this part of the show where I get to go back. I get to go back and listen to the conversation as you get to hear it. So I did that. And then I did that again. And then I did that again. That third time back through listening to the conversation, there was something that had slipped by me the first few times, but this last time it was so very clear when Angela said it. It was the one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
this is a weird little thing, but I invested in one airline that I was going to pretty much always travel unless I couldn't, but like a default airline, a default car rental, and a default hotel. So for me, it happens to be United, Hilton, and Avis. It doesn't actually matter what it is, but I will only use those companies. It doesn't matter if it's more expensive, because the time I was spending comparing to save $10 on a friggin' rental car, not brilliant use of my time.
And that's the hack. Angela, Angela, Angela. I love this. I love this. I love this during the conversation and again now. So the idea that you just default to an airline, a car rental, and a hotel for you is perfect because it saves that time. So the idea is that you possibly or probably don't travel as much as Angela does. I don't. Most people don't. But we all have these things in our lives that we do sort of repetitively and spend too much time on. The reason why we do that, and it's subconscious or consciously, but it's because we're not putting enough value onto our time, right? So as an entrepreneur, our job is to scale and leverage our time. We all have the same amount of time every single day and every single week. It's just the way it is. Your busyness is made up by things that you have to do, but they can be things that aren't necessary to do. Like Angela says, it's not worth wasting her time like people do to save the $10 because it's probably going to come out in the end anyways on an average. It's probably or possibly not worth your time to drive across your city to get a bit cheaper gas. It's possibly not worth your time to sit there and try and decide what to eat every day for lunch because it takes time. All of this stuff takes time, and that time could be used in a better or more effective way. And it's this idea of valuing your time, right? Lots of people do this really, really effectively. Whether you want to put $25 an hour onto your time or you want to put $250 or $1,000 onto your time, when you do that, you sort of mentally make this shift of everything that you do has to be kind of optimized to a point because of the cost that it bears. When you start valuing your time as nothing, you start to value yourself as nothing. And then when you try and sell your service or your product or even yourself as a consultant or a coach or whatever it is to a customer or a client, it's hard to now try and tell them that the value of your time is $250 an hour, but then you actually absolutely value yourself as $0 per hour. You see, there's a disconnect there. If you want people to value your time, you need to do it first. It's the way that it works. And I love that Angela does this. It's literally the simplest way, like an airline, a car rental, and a hotel. And yet I've never heard this said like this before. Angela, thank you. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? I enjoyed it. Yeah. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Head over there, get onto the email list, and yeah, check out Angela's show notes. I'm going to have links to everything she talked about on the show, which was actually a fair bit. And then also the blog. I've been writing every Monday, new articles coming out. And then every Wednesday have that new series called How I Started. I believe we're at three of them now. Somebody who started a boutique travel agency. Somebody who started a digital educating people on how to pass the CMA exam. And now the most recent was the founder of Whole Whale, who was on the show about 6 months ago, which is like an analytics company for not-for-profits. I've had all three of those people on. It's a text-based interview, 21 questions about how they came up with the idea and started their business, got their first customers. Yeah, been getting some great comments about it and think you might really dig it. So it's over at the blog, hacktheentrepreneur.com/blog. You'll see it. It's called How I Started. Check it out. Let me know what you think. It'd be good. All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for taking the time today to listen. I really, truly do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.